On Wednesday, we kicked off the season of Lent with Ash Wednesday worship. Bishop Gary Hales of the City of Promise in Cincinnati, Ohio, blessed us in a tremendous way. On today, we celebrate the first Sunday in the season of Lent. As we celebrate this first Sunday, as we are marching towards Resurrection Sunday, the greatest day in human history, I want to preach a sermon series entitled, Be Like Jesus. I'm taking a break from four-letter words for Christians. I'll come back to that sermon series as I still have some four-letter words to preach from. Kind, obey, fast, amen. But for these next 6 weeks, till we make our way to Resurrection Sunday, I want to preach from this sermon series entitled, Be Like Jesus. Verse 35 is where I'm going to hang my hat this morning. Chapter 1, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, Jesus went out and departed to a solitary place, and there Jesus prayed. I want to preach as the Holy Spirit shall give me help, as you shall pray for and with me, from the topic, spending time with God. If you want to be like Jesus, the first thing we need to do is spend time with God. Lord, bless your word. Bless me to be a blessing. Let your word fall on fresh and fertile ground. Remove every distraction, hindrance, obstacle, barrier that would keep us from hearing from you. Speak, Lord. Give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Habits are important and significant. What we do and or don't do habitually makes a significant difference in our lives. Our habits, be they daily, weekly, monthly, or annually, have the ability and capacity to make and or break our lives. What we do habitually and what we don't do habitually makes a major difference in our lives. Our habits can bless us and our habits can curse us. Our habits can help us or our habits can hinder us. Our habits can improve the quality of our lives or our habits can diminish the quality of our lives. Our habits can create options and opportunities for us or our habits can minimize the options and opportunities that are available to us. Our habits can glorify God and or our habits can embarrass God. What we do habitually can make a major difference in our lives. The habit of voting in elections makes a major difference in our lives. the habit of worshiping on the Lord's Day, not just via digital technology, but physically in the church house, makes a major difference in our lives. The habit of thinking about what we think about makes a difference in our lives. The habit of not making excuses makes a difference in our lives. The habit of saving money for a rainy day makes a difference in our lives. The habit of washing our hands with hot water in the midst of a global pandemic makes a major difference in our lives. The habit of listening and paying attention to people makes a major difference in our lives. The habit of saying please and thank you, regardless of how old you are, how chronologically mature you are, having manners makes a major difference in our lives. What we do and or don't do habitually makes a major difference in our lives. If we look back and think about where we are and think about what God has done for us and think about evaluating our lives right now, we are in many cases the sum total of our habits. Good, bad, ugly, indifferent, progress, setbacks, amen, somebody. If we honestly evaluate where we are, in many cases, we are the sum total of what we do habitually, consistently, daily, weekly, on a regular basis. Help me preach this. According to this New Testament text, we witness Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, engaged in a holy habit that is making a significant difference in his life. Jesus is not saying please or thank you. Jesus is not washing his hands in hot water as he counts from Alpha to Omega. But Jesus, according to the text, early in the morning, before the break of day, steals away, in the words of the spiritual, to a solitary place where he is engaging in a prayer dialogue with Almighty God. Before Jesus does anything, watch chapel, Jesus spends time with God. Before Jesus turns on Morning Joe, CNN, MSNBC, Jesus spends time with God. Before Jesus goes to Starbucks and gets coffee, Jesus spends time with God. Before Jesus talks to Peter, James, and John, Jesus spends time with God. Before Jesus picks up the Android, iPhone 11, Jesus talks to God. Before Jesus speaks to anybody, Jesus is talking to God and allowing God to talk to him. Before Jesus does anything, Jesus is spending time with his heavenly Father. Despite how busy Jesus is, Jesus is spending time with God. And nobody is, has been, or will be busier than Jesus. Come on, talk to me. Jesus was preaching, teaching, and healing, yet Jesus spent time and made room to spend time with God. Jesus, was stilling storms, delivering the demon possessed, unclogging deaf ears, yet Jesus made time to spend with God. Jesus resisted the devil's overtures, handled haters, corrected the confused, yet Jesus made time to spend with God. Jesus mediated between heaven and earth, advanced the kingdom, made ways out of no ways. Yet Jesus was not so busy that he was not going to spend daily time with God, his heavenly Father. And despite the busyness of his calendar, and none of us, I don't care, baller, shot caller, what you do is ever going to be as busy as Jesus. And if Jesus saw spending time with God as a need, not an addendum, not an option, not something that he should do, but spending time for Jesus was a need, who are you and I to be too busy to spend time with our Heavenly Father? Ain't nobody that busy. And let me just preach this the way the Holy Spirit gives it to me. If we are too busy for God, if we are too busy to spend time with God, then we are too busy. We need to reevaluate. We need to take inventory. There's some stuff we need to cut out. There's some stuff we need to stop doing. If I'm too busy to spend time with God on a daily basis, then I'm too doggone busy. I need to turn the TV off. I need to turn my cell phone off. I need to renegotiate some relationships. I need to reevaluate how I'm spending 24 hours in a day, 365 days in a year, 168 hours in a week, and 31 days in every month. If I'm too busy to give God an hour out of every day, maybe that's the problem. Maybe we need to reevaluate our lives. Maybe we need to renegotiate relationships. If I'm too busy to spend time with God, my Heavenly Father, how can I become more like Jesus? Maybe I'm not like Jesus. Maybe I'm not kind. Maybe I'm not loving. Maybe I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe I don't exude the joy of the Lord. Maybe I'm not long-suffering. Maybe I don't love God with my mind, heart, soul, and strength. Maybe I don't love people the way God loves me because I don't spend enough time with God. We become, amen, somebody, like the people we spend the most time with. Amen. You wonder why our children hear and use some words they ain't learned at home. You wonder why they pick up some habits you know you didn't teach them. We become like the people we spend the most time with. If we don't spend time with the Lord Jesus, we won't become like him. But if we spend time with people who are nasty, snide, snarky, sarcastic, we're going to become just like that. If we spend time with people who are mean-spirited, hellish, jaderation, jealous and envious, we're going to become just like them. If we're too busy, I ain't going to get many amens to this kind of preaching right here, because this convicts from the pulpit to the parking lot. This makes us evaluate whether I'm just talking big and living little, whether I'm really about the life of a believer, or really I'm just perpetrating a fraud. Y'all ain't talking to me. Can I preach this word on this Sunday morning? I preach this to encourage everybody to spend time with God, our Heavenly Father. And we can't declare we don't have time. Let me preach this. Go on, preach, Harry Leo White Jr. We can't declare we don't have time. We got time. Come here, mama. You got time for what you want to do. Come on, talk to me. I'm preaching this to the real people in here.
If you got time for bracketology in the month of March, amen. If you got time for fantasy football from August to January, then we got time to spend with God. If we got time for Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and Snapchat, and what's the new thing, TikTok, we got time for Almighty God. If we got time for ESPN, HBO, Hulu, Amazon Fire, amen. We got time for God. If we got time for Boo, Bay, the Wall Street Journal, hey, can I preach this? Then we got time for God. If we got time for The View, if we got time just to sit there and do nothing, who are we to declare we don't have time for God? We got time for Pinterest. We got time to order Amazon Prime. We got time for Whole Foods. We got time for what we want to do in the name of self and recreation. God gives us 365 days a year, 168 hours a week, 24 hours in a day. How much time have I given to God? How much real, undistracted, uninterrupted time have I given to Almighty God? I declare He's the head of my life. I declare giving honor to God, giving honor to the pastor, giving honor to the preacher, giving honor to the deacons, giving honor to the lay leaders and the mothers of the church, and God, who is the head of my life. But how much time am I really giving to God? Yet Jesus, our Savior, steals away solitary place and praise to God. What happens, church, when we spend time with God? When we spend time with God, can I keep preaching this? Can I get 10 amens? We spend time with God, we are intentional about what is important. If it's important to you, we'll invest in it. I don't know who said it. L-O-V is spelled T-I-M-E. Amen. Somebody, amen. You'll get that if you ain't got it yet. Amen. If you love it, him, her, them, then you will spend time with it, him, her, and them. Talk to me, somebody. L-O-V-E is spelled T-I-M-E. Amen. February was last month. Amen. If you loved them, amen, on my February 14th, saints, amen, then you spent time with them. Let me get to next February. Jesus spends time with God. Because Jesus is being intentional about what is important. No relationship in our lives. And I don't know anybody who's sane, sound, and saved who's going to say your walk with God is unimportant to you. I don't know any saved person who's sane, amen, who's going to stand up in church, amen, at home and going to say, my relationship with God is not important to me. Amen. No relationship was more important to Jesus than his relationship with God. And as Jesus has a relationship with God, Jesus is intentional about making the relationship with God a priority. When you spend time with God, we are intentional about what is important in our lives. Jesus doesn't spend time with God by accident. He doesn't stumble upon his prayer life. It is not unimportant to him, but Jesus' relationship with God is so important that the first thing Jesus does, not an afterthought, not something on the back burner, but Jesus, the first thing he does in the morning is spend time with God, his Father. If it's important to you and I, Watch Chapel, we will spend time with God. If it's priority, we will spend time with God. If it's significant, we will spend time with God. If it means something to us, we will spend time with God. I don't know what to do. Read the Bible. Read the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Pray to God. Be quiet. Ask God to speak into your life. Read the hymnal. You can find, amen, somebody, resources to charge and stimulate your spiritual life. If it's important to you, we will make it important because we will internalize. We will rather be intentional about what is important. When you spend time with God, you'll be intentional about what is important. But when you spend time with God, you will replenish your resources. Jesus has spent the previous day doing the work of ministry, advancing the kingdom. As Jesus has spent the previous day doing the work of the kingdom, advancing the kingdom of God, Jesus has been preaching, teaching, healing. Jesus healed the man with leprosy who said, "Lord, if you will, heal me of this leprosy." And as Jesus did the work of ministry, Watch Chapel, people came from near and far because Jesus was a mighty miracle worker. He didn't just do it from 9 to 5, but the text says, after the day was done, people came still from elsewhere so Jesus could do the work of the miraculous. And now, after Jesus has spent time resting, Jesus needs God to pour back into him because his resources from the previous day have been expended. He's preached 3 services. Drove to the other side of town to lead another worship celebration. Stopped at the hospital to pray for some people. Jesus, come on, talk to me. In the words of somebody, is tired. I didn't say tired, I said tired. And Jesus needs God to pour back into him because of the work and energy and physical, spiritual resources that he has expended. Let me help somebody right now. Sometimes the most spiritual, holy, consecrated thing we can do after we have preached, after we have served, after we have taught, after we have ushered, after we have untied knots, after we have led and conducted meetings, after we have ushered, after we have greeted, the best thing, the most holy thing we can do sometimes is to rest and take a nap. If you are doing the work of ministry, somebody knows what I'm talking about. The work of ministry will drain you and exhaust you. If God the Father had enough sense to create the world in 6 days and rest on the 7th day, who are you and I to believe that we can keep going without having our batteries recharged? Keep going without taking rest. Keep going without taking some time for ourselves. That's why you nasty. That's why you short. That's why you impatient. That's why you cussing. You go nonstop. Now that's an excuse for some folks. Some folks just want to be nasty. But if you're going nonstop every day, there needs to be a day where you allow God to pour into you. And let me help somebody before you get up on tomorrow morning, before you get up on Tuesday, Wednesday, and go face the world, you better spend time with God so God can pour into you, so God can recharge your sanctified batteries, so God can pour into you everything that you've expended. Sometimes you cannot be effective doing the work of the kingdom because you have gone nonstop. Sometimes you just tired. Ain't nothing holy about not taking your vacation. Take your vacation. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Honey, you better rest. Chill. Turn the phone off. Turn the cell phone off. It's gonna get done. And as we spend time with God, Jesus pours into us. Can't pour into you unless we are still. Be still and know that I am God. Come on, talk to me. Sometimes you just got to be still so God can pour back into you. When we spend time with God, we replenish resources. When we spend time with God, we are intentional about what's important. When we spend time with God, I'm going to my seat. I'm blessing somebody right now. We elevate our expectations. When you spend time with God, you learn to see the world and look at the world through the lens of Almighty God. Whoever you spend time with determines how you think. Come on, I'm talking to somebody right now. If you spend time with the wrong people, amen, somebody. And maybe that's why everybody needs to reevaluate their circle. Maybe everybody needs to evaluate who you're dating, who you're spending time with. You can't help to be negative because everybody around you is negative. You can't help to be cynical and pessimistic because everybody around you is negative and cynical. You can't help to be a hater because everybody around you is a hater, mean, jealous, and envious. We are the product of the people we spend the most time with. But if you spend time with Almighty God, you learn to look at the world through the lens of God, your Heavenly Father. Jesus spent time with God. It is no secret, amen. There is a divine symbiotic connection between what Jesus does in private and between what he does in public and who he spends time with in private. As he spends time with God in private, he has power in public. Somebody talk to me now. You can't have power representing God in public unless you spend time with God in private. Preachers, don't dare stand behind this sacred desk without having spent time with God in prayer. Choir members, don't stand before God and sing the songs of Zion without having spent time with God in prayer. Ushers, don't pass out bulletins to the church without having spent time with God in prayer. Deacons, trustees, don't make decisions without first having spent time with God in prayer. This ain't no plaything. This ain't for play. Y'all ain't talking to me. Don't touch that Hammond organ. Don't touch them drums. Don't touch the money of God without having spent time with God in prayer. Y'all ain't talking to me. That's why we don't have power in public, because we ain't spending enough time with God in private. Don't dance to the glory of God if you ain't spend time talking to God. Don't greet people unless you spend time talking to God. Because if you spend time with God in private, you'll have power in public. You ain't going to see the world through the lens of the world, but you're going to see the world through the lens of Almighty God. You'll elevate your expectations when you spend time with the God who's awesome, wonderful, who can do all things. You ain't talking about what can't happen, what we don't have, what we can't do, who I ain't. Ain't three-thirds of a person, ain't three-fifths of a person, but I'm made in the image of Almighty God. And I serve a God who's wonderful, who's awesome, who's able. I said when you spend time with them, they'll elevate your expectations. So I ain't thinking about just getting a little piece of this or a little piece of that. Give me the whole thing. I'm going to kick in the door. What God has for me is for me. What God has for you is for you. I serve a God. I said I serve a God who does all things well. Anybody got a with God testimony? With God, I can conquer. With God, I can win. With God, I'm victorious. With God, I got a testimony. With God, all things, all things. can do. Tell me what you can't overcome. I said, with God. There's some people in here who got a with God testimony. I said, he healed your body. He brought you out of some stuff. He delivered you. He set you free. Don't give up on you, but with God. If you're able, stand to your feet. If you're not saved, my sister, my brother, I want you to come forward now. You don't have a church home, I want you to come forward now. God wants a relationship with you, my sister, my brother. Don't have a 911 relationship with God. Don't just take her out when she says she's going to leave you. Don't just be romantic when he's frustrated. Don't just come to work on time when you get a write-up. Don't just pray when the doctor says this looks funny. We need a biopsy. Don't just come to church when life throws you a curveball. Don't just start serving and tithing and giving to bargain with God. God, if you get me out of this, I'm going to do right. God ain't a Coke machine. God ain't a Pepsi machine. This ain't Amazon Prime. This ain't the drive-thru where you do, then you get. No. God loves us so much that we ought to love God in response. Love ain't one way. Somebody only loves you when you're doing for them. That ain't love. That's usury. That ain't love. You worth more than that, honey. You worth more than that. If you're not saved, I want you to come forward from wherever you are. If you need a church home, I want you to come from wherever you are. Somebody right now, you're hearing me. God loves you for who you are. God doesn't want anything from you except a relationship. Come on. You may be in overflow. Is anybody in overflow today?